WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025. WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Love is in the air because tomorrow's Valentine's Day. And truthfully, I forgot. It's been such a busy week, but I still have time to make plans for me and my love to spend some quality time. It's also a good time for advice, and boy, did our guest have plenty to share on the air. We checked in with Alexandra Solomon for that love advice, and she's a licensed clinical psychologist. She's an adjunct professor at Northwestern University, and she's the host of the podcast Reimagining Love. This year marks 25 years of her teaching Marriage 101. So she started by catching us up on just what someone who takes that class can expect.
Every year in the spring, I get the privilege of being with 100 students from Northwestern, juniors and seniors who come to me from all over the campus. And we spend the entire quarter just diving in. We talk about dating, we talk about breakups, we talk about sex, we talk about the family systems that they grew up in and the messages that they learned, you know, about who they get to be and what relationships are all about. So It is a deep dive into themselves and cultivating what I call relational self-awareness, helping them understand their relationship to relationships.
Yeah, it sounds very involved and layered. What do you think keeps bringing them back, those students?
Well, you know, I do have the word of mouth at my back at this point. You know, yes. Students hear about it, but it is just we're getting students at such a ripe moment. I remember when I was at that phase in my life, I was just fascinated, and I would talk to my friends about, what do you think the secret is to a relationship, and how do you know, and you know, when are you ready, and what does love feel like, and all those questions are so front of mind for students. And I think especially, you know, this is my third generation of students. Really, I'm teaching Gen Z now, and they are deeply, deeply curious. And they keep me on my toes with their questions.
Yes. Well, you know, marriage, let's talk about that for a little bit here. That type of commitment, or that level of commitment, Professor, it's not one size fits all, right? Everybody's marriage looks a little bit different. So I wonder how that impacts the way that you approach giving advice.
Yes. I think we're in an exciting moment for marriage. I'm going to be here cheering for marriage, you know, in an ongoing way. I want the institution to be inclusive and to be deeply, deeply based in equity, you know, and fairness. But I believe that because intimate relationships are hard, you know, having that kind of guardrail so that there's a reason to stay, there's a reason to roll up your sleeves and stay engaged, not at the expense of one's health or emotional health, certainly, but that sense of kind of pride in the investment, I really do see a lot of benefit in.
Yeah, and some folks are choosing not to get married, but just to be in long-term committed relationships. And that's perfectly fine.
Absolutely. I know lots of couples who have deep, deep commitment without marriage. I know lots of couples who are married who don't have that, you know, kind of like sense of commitment. So it's not definitely not a proxy for commitment or a proxy for emotional safety, you know?
So you've been teaching about love and relationships for at least 25 years. Does time make it easier for you, Professor Solomon?
I definitely feel wise, you know, like that word wisdom holds a kind of significance to me now that it didn't probably even like 5 or 10 years ago. I feel wise, but I also still feel very much like a learner, because the landscape of relationships continues to change. Certainly with my college students, their central questions continue to change mm-hmm. and evolve. So I think I feel a little bit of both, you know, wise and young still.
Yes. Let's dig into some of those questions that you've been hearing, Professor Solomon. You teased earlier that you know, people are dealing with breakups, right? That's kind of an ongoing thing. So talk to us about love after loss. What sorts of advice do you give folks to start with?
Well, you know, I want to hear about the love of your life at some point in this conversation.
We'll get there. We'll get there, girl.
Right on. You know, I am here to support people who have the guts to love after loss. You know, I think the thing about a breakup is I would never for a minute want anybody to minimize the pain of a breakup. And I don't care if it was a situationship. I don't care if it was a 6-month relationship. I don't care if you're the one who initiated the breakup or if you knew you had to go. There is still pain in a breakup and mm-hmm. there is still a significant shift in your own sense of who you are. It's not just losing the other person. It is losing a sense of who you are because all of our people, our friends, our family members, and certainly our intimate partner becomes a part of how we define ourselves.
Right.
So the healing journey is real and it takes a minute and it takes intentionality. But then to love again, the goal is to return to a place where you can have an open heart. It may be a cautious heart. It may be a tender heart, mm-hmm. but to have an open heart once again.
Yeah. So you're not the type that tells folks, just move on.
Right. You know, I think when we press ourselves to move on, and that tends to be folk wisdom, isn't it? People say the best way to get over someone is to get under someone.
Which
else.
Is the worst advice.
It tends to just add another layer, you
it
know,
does.
And it's a deep sense of, there's a lot that you get to learn about yourself as you're healing and you get to kind of put your baby toe in the water and, mm-hmm. you know, maybe download an app, maybe mention to a friend, hey, if you'd ever think about setting me up with somebody, you get to go at your own pace. But certainly I wouldn't want somebody hanging out on the sidelines until they believe they're fully, fully healed. Because I think you still carry some measure
yes.
of that pang with you, you
yeah.
know?
And you know, myself, I find myself supporting friends right now who are going through some level of what we're talking about right now. I've got, you know, anything from the ones who have been single for a stretch of time and mm-hmm. who are sort of, you know, wanting to get out of that phase. And then I've got the ones who are like freshly divorced, who are yeah. kind of trying to figure out who am I even without this other person. So as a friend, sometimes it's a little difficult for me to figure out how can I best support? Do I leave them alone? Or do I try to just be there and listen?
What a great question. And I wish it's a question that more people asked, you know, because it is, I think the role of community whenever we're in a season of healing or difficulty is just essential. And I think the best thing that we can ask, the best thing we can do as a friend is just say, hey, I want to be here for you and I want to be here with you, but I may not always know how that looks. So please, please, please talk to me about what loving you in this moment looks like. Mm. I got a menu. We can do ice cream. We can do Netflix. We can do, you know, ranting and raving. Like I've got a number of ways I can offer you support, but I'm going to do right by you. And I'm not always sure what that looks like.
Yeah. That's great advice. Thank you for sharing that. What's your advice for brand new couples? So that, you know, they just recently met, matched up maybe on an app or met in real life, which is so rare these days. And you know, you're kind of at that sweet spot where it's been, you know, several months and you're only seeing each other. And so how do you navigate those waters?
Yeah. I think there's a blend of continuing to create experiences, you know, because that is how you build emotional safety and trust and connection is continuing to build experiences together and some amount of conversation about how are you feeling? Where are we? Where are we going? You know, I think that there's a mistake on either extreme end of the spectrum. I think it's a mistake to spend the bulk of your time talking about the relationship. I think it's really important to also just do the relationship. But there's a mistake on the other end also, which is to just avoid any conversation at all about who are we. And the question is always, who are we? I think especially when people are cisgender and heterosexual, there tends to be this idea that he's the one who gets to define and decide, and all she can do is wait around. And mm-hmm. I really want couples.
When is he going to ask me to go see?
Yeah, exactly. You know what? Then bring it up. I don't want people waiting around for somebody else to ask a question.
Don't be afraid of the what are we conversation.
Exactly.
You hinted earlier you wanted to know my story, and that's what I did 6 years ago. I said, what are we?
What are we?
You know, fast forward, we've been dating, but we're getting married in 3 months. And so I'm looking toward marriage now. And so I'm listening very closely, Professor Sullivan, to your advice. What about those couples who've been together for a really long time and then things may, you know, start to get stale?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's the beautiful thing about a long-term relationship is that history and that deep, deep knowledge of each other. And the challenging thing is, how do we create new experiences of the same person? And a lot of that has to do with context. You know, it's real hard to have a new experience in the same pair of sweatpants on the same couch watching the same show. So yes. There is a necessity for long-term couples to shake it up a little bit and to try new things together. There's nothing that kind of juices the system like being in a new, whether that's travel or something as simple as, you know, a hike. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. But I love the conversations that you were having earlier on your show about, you know, any of those experiences are just opportunities to have a different kind of conversation and to see each other in a little bit of a different light.
Yes. Now, I'm going to mention the C word, and that's conflict. How do we deal?
Yeah. The research is very clear that it's not whether or not a couple has conflict that makes them or breaks them. It's how they handle conflict. Mm-hmm. And maybe you grew up in a home where you saw people with excellent, excellent conflict management skills, but most likely you didn't. And so part of our work to be a good lover and to be a good partner is to learn, I call it our conflict inheritance. You know, what do you see in your family growing up? And therefore, what are some of the growing edges that you have? I spend a lot of time in my podcast doing conflict and communication skill building work because it's just, you know, I've had to do it for myself and in my marriage and in my own healing
yes.
journey. And a lot of us need to do that. A lot of us need to learn how to offer an apology.
How to apologize. Yes. And forgive.
Mm-hmm. Those are essential. I think, you know, we have these romanticized ideas that love means never having to say you're sorry, but in fact,
that's not true.
Love means knowing how to repair.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So if you had to give me some relationship ins and outs for 2025, we're at the start of a new year. What's in? Sounds like apologizing is in, forgiving is in. And what are the things that are out? Like no more of this.
No more mind reading. No more expecting mind reading.
Mm.
That's a big one around Valentine's Day. If you love me, you're going to know exactly how I want to be celebrated.
You should know why I'm upset and I've been giving you silent treatment for 3 days.
Please don't. Please don't. That's so out. Can that please be out?
Yeah. Turning a blind eye.
Yep. Turning a blind eye. You know, the research is also real clear on this. The problems that couples have don't tend to go away on their own. And couple therapy is really, really quite effective. So reaching out for couple therapy early and often, there's no shame in it. In fact, there's a deep sense of pride. This shows how much we care about each other.
Mm-hmm. What about holding a grudge?
Yeah, real bad for your health. The physiology of holding a grudge is real bad for your immune system, for your cardiac system. So I think holding a grudge, I think we do it because it feels a little bit emotionally safe, you know, to be kind of wrapped up in our grudge, but that's not what creates connection. And so we've got to learn how to forgive yes. and forgive doesn't mean forgetting.
That only sounds saying, like it leads to division, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So we've got apologizing, forgiving. I would add giving your partner grace.
Yes. I think that we're in a difficult cultural moment. There's quite a bit of stress and uncertainty, polarization. And so can our intimate relationships and our friendships, frankly, for that matter, mm-hmm. can they be spaces of respite and grace and softness?
Mm-hmm. Leave us with this. Misconceptions about marriage that you just want to do away with right now, briefly.
That your partner has to be your everything. You know, it takes a village to,
yes.
to care for any one of
this
us.
This is I a good one.
Are you finding this? You need your friends as much, if not more than ever.
So many conversations nothing. Around this, you know, just expecting that one person to do everything, to satisfy every need. That's impossible.
It's impossible. And I think sometimes we have that idea because maybe we saw our parents build their entire lives around their marriage, but we don't have to do that. We can draw love and give love in a lot of different directions, and it takes nothing away from our marriages.
We'll leave it there. That's Alexandra Solomon, who's a licensed clinical psychologist, adjunct professor at Northwestern University, and host of the podcast Reimagining Love. Thank you so much, and happy early Valentine's Day.
Same to you.
Thank you.
Great to be with you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin. It was edited and mixed by Meha Ahmed. On Reset, we bring you conversations rich with curiosity and insight to deeper connect with the world around us and each other. To never miss an episode, make sure to subscribe wherever you listen or find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We love you.
Made my life so beautiful, and every day filled with love and you. Love and you. I see your soul.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.